Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of Dan D'Antoni Sports. My name is Dan Snyder, joined tonight by Dan O'Shea and Dan Beebe. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's good to hear, unfortunately. That's good to hear. Very enthusiastic. Unfortunately, Tony could not be here tonight, nor could Chaz, Chuckles, whatever you want to call him. I prefer Chuckles. But we're going to have a good show. Tonight we're going to be talking about the most annoying fan bases in all of sports. All right.
It's very debatable stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I need to do much debating. I think we're going to agree on a couple of these.
Probably.
But,
well, I'll have it known. I am a master debater.
Master debater. Yeah. Got a PhD in master debating.
Yeah.
We'll leave it to the audience to decide.
Yeah. So, before we get into that though, we're going to go through, as always, our pigskin poetry.
Love it.
This one is called Reasons Why It Sucks to Be a Cowboys Fan. It doesn't suck to be a Cowboys fan. They didn't win the Super Bowl, but only one team can. 13-3 got them the number one seed. For a team that was led by two rookies. Dak only threw 5 interceptions all season long. Seeing such greatness from a rookie feels wrong. Ezekiel Elliott mastered hurdling fools. Just look at him. He's got all the tools. But that's just the rookies, and they still have Dez. This team is as good as that record says. That O-line can block. My God, are they great. They're the best line in the league. There is no debate. The defense needs work, but they're getting good. Just wait till you see Xavier Woods. Jeff Heath has stepped up, and he'll do it again. We're ready for the Giants on September 10.
Oh, man.
Reasons why it sucks to be a Cowboys fan.
Also, Elliot looks like an Ewok, and that is a positive in my book.
You rearrange the letters in Ewok, and you get woke, which is what he is. Anyways, topic of tonight's show, most annoying fan bases in all of sports. We're going to do this just like we normally do. Five, 4-3-2. Honorable mentions, 1. Now, like I said, Tony couldn't be here tonight, but he did send along his selections at most annoying fan bases. So we're going to start off. We're going to go hot and heavy. I'm going to start. The first one is a tie, but it's a tie with a caveat. So my number 5 are Yankees and Red Sox. Alone, neither team's fans are annoying. Together, they're the most annoying fans in all of baseball.
I would heavily disagree when you say neither team's fans are annoying on their own.
Well, okay.
They're both the most spoiled fans in sports.
Not the Patriots fans are.
It's like if you're a Boston fan as a whole, and we'll get to that later, but the Yankees fans, you know, if they don't go to the series, then it's a failure of a season.
They don't go to the series if they don't
win.
Don't win the division, if they don't win the ALCS, and then if they don't win it all. And quite frankly, even if they win the division, it's only by like 3 games. Well, we could have done better. We could have won it by 10 games. It's just never good enough for Yankees fans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But on their own, they don't make my top 5. You put that rivalry together, and they are in the top 5. That is, like I said, extremely annoying, especially because we get it. Both of your teams are very good. There's no reason for you to say the other team sucks when we know they're both very good.
Well, debatable in respect, because, I mean, you know, you're going to say, oh, you know, we're the best. We've won 27 World Series titles. Yeah, but out of all those 27, how many, you know, there weren't 30 teams in the league that whole way through. How many of those were actually relevant compared to today's champions?
You know? Well, I think they're all relevant the same way that we still look at college football championships. You know, back in the day, NYU had a championship basketball team. So they're not even a Division I team anymore. So
yeah, but it's not so much that they claim to be the most classiest organization out there, and yet all they do is bully and make fun and badger other opposing teams' fans. It's like,
plus, not to mention, Now,
do the fans claim to be classy? Because that's just a bald-faced lie.
Well, if you look at it in general, so say, you know, you're watching on TV, you got the Yes Network, they're always doing, like, not just the baseball, but they claim, you know, they have the Yankeeography, the center stage. They set up a lot of, you know, first-class programming, and they claim to be affiliated with a lot of first-class sponsorship, even.
They are. The team, we're not arguing anything about the team. We're arguing the fans.
Yeah.
That team is a world-class, first-class organization through and through. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And that
they
team,
lost some with losing Jeter, but yeah, I have no issues with the team. It's the fan bases.
Yeah, I mean, the fan bases, they are what make the teams annoying, and that's pretty much in every sport.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't hate the Patriots nearly as much if their fans weren't idiots.
But we do.
That being said, Dan Beebe, who do you have at your number five?
At number five, I'm coming in with the Tampa Bay Rays. Up more. They're never up. When they were down, the fans were always saying, you know, we're not going to come and support you. When it was a new team, there was hardly any fans in the stands. Come 2008, the team goes on to win the pennant. All of a sudden, we got tons of bandwagon fans, and what's up with that? To the point where in 2010, team star Evan Longoria called the fans disheartening and embarrassing for showing up lack of support, in especially late September, when the team was going to clinch their second playoff berth in the last 3 years. And it's basically, when it comes down to a playoff race, this team is still struggling to get fans to sit in the stadium. Quite disgraceful overall. I mean,
you're completely right. I remember being so annoyed at how popular Evan Longoria got because literally nobody cared about the Rays. Like, they made a big change in changing their name and nobody noticed.
I think that's, except for the Bucks, that's kind of Tampa Bay in general. You know, look at the Lightning. They have pretty empty stadiums when the Lightning aren't good.
They don't even have natural ice.
No, they don't.
I've even been told by some fans that have had the privilege of, you know, working for an organization that gets, you know, box seats and whatnot, that people literally come for like maybe an inning or two of play, eat at a buffet, and literally just like leave everything behind. It's like, you know, if you're going to be from the area, at least maybe have some support for your local team. It's like,
yeah,
not that hard.
No, you're right. It is ridiculous. Bandwagon fans are the worst fans. So let's move on now to Dan O'Shea. Dan O'Shea, who have you got at your number five?
Well, I know we never do soccer, really, but I'm throwing in a soccer team here, and that's Manchester United. I know we take our sports seriously, but you know, soccer hooligans are next level, and I don't think any are quite as insane as Manchester United fans, and how, you know, they'll basically fight someone on the street for wearing a different jersey. That that movie Eurotrip, that's really not an exaggeration of how these guys are. And
no, it's like riots for days.
Yeah, and they haven't been good in a long time now.
It's Man City time. Manchester City.
And they still seem to refuse to acknowledge that fact. And finally, my former boss was a Manchester United fan, and there was just no reason for it. And I think if you're a Manchester United fan, you're probably, as an American, you're probably a traitor, and you're really an English spy.
Yeah, that's probably correct. So now that we've alienated all Manchester United fans, let's
alienate some more.
Let's recap our...
No room for it, regardless.
Let's recap our number five.
Who's Tony's? Did we go Tony's?
Oh, you're right. Tony's number five were Dallas Cowboys fans. He's wrong, but...
That's,
They were literally just voted the best fan in all sports.
By who? By their own fans?
No, by, like, Forbes or whatever magazine does it.
Forbes doesn't know anything.
Yeah, they're pretty credible.
Says they're the best
Urban Dictionary for Cowboys fans says, they do not know jack about football, and the majority of their fans are not even from Texas. Their fans and organization live off their glory days in the past. Since the mid-90s, this team has not been able to succeed and win playoff games. this season excluded and present company excluded, because obviously you know about football.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm pretty well versed in the sport that we call fool's ball. But no, the Cowboys fans, first of all, I think if you are a team that hasn't had the recent success and you have a far-reaching fan base, that doesn't mean that you're bandwagon fans. I think that's a good thing. I guarantee any money if you took a giant, if you asked the Giants, the New York Giants that is, if they'd be happy that they have a ton of fans in, say, Indianapolis, what do you think they would say? No, we only want New Yorkers.
Right. So that's, speaking as someone garbage. That's not a fan of quote-unquote America's team, I am just kind of bound to hate any team that is America's team, just because I feel they've got too many fans, and there needs to be more parity in fan bases, and they don't deserve it. Let's be real. It's been 20 years, and I'm kind of annoyed that they're getting good again, because I think they were starting to lose some of those old bandwagoners from the glory days. And
me being one of those bandwagoners, I was four.
that's a reasonable excuse.
That's easy enough. I mean, last season when they lost in the divisional round, I mean, how many people could bring back their Dak Prescott jerseys?
Oh, man, I cried. I was deleting people on Facebook. I was a mess.
To that point, tons of bandwagoners. There you go.
Yeah, I was a mess. I was like, anyone talking crap about the Cowboys, I'm just deleting them. I unfriended like 20 people.
But no, they are set up for future success, and that's what annoys me as well, because they've had too much success in their past. How about you leave some for other teams that haven't had any in a while? Like the Jets or something.
Or the Cleveland Browns, even, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're not even going to talk about the Cleveland Browns. But
they're a football team.
Yeah, kind of.
That's it.
One thing I do just want to say, the old Cowboys Stadium had a partially retractable roof. Do you know why that is? It's because on nice days, they could open it and let God watch his favorite football team.
Oh, God. That's silly.
All right.
And they, in their new stadium, they come up with the audio screen that when they went to kick it off for the first time, as in the football, it hit the back of the screen and they had to re-kick the ball.
No. What happened is Joe Nedney was trying to punt into the video screen.
Intentionally.
He was intentionally trying to hit it. He wasn't trying to make a football move. Well, he was trying to hit it.
I seem to remember watching the first game in Dallas' new stadium, and the audio just cut out, and it was absolutely horrible.
It was, and the Giants beat them. Very first game in the new stadium, and the Giants beat them.
Yeah.
Anyways, so my number five team were a tie between the Yankees and Red Sox fans. Dan Beebe, yours were the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's correct.
/ Devil Rays. Yours, O'Shea, were Manchester United.
Yep.
And Tony's were incorrectly the Dallas Cowboys. So we're going to.
It's just wrong.
They made my honorable mentions. So that now.
Well, we're going to move on to our number four. My number four is going to be a popular one, the Duke Blue Devils. Basketball only.
Fair enough.
I have no problems with their football team. The biggest reason that I dislike the fans of Duke is they just get carried away. They're the Cameron crazies. And they mean it. Like, they are, like ride-or-die type of fans, which are good, but they're also I'm-going-to-kill-you kind of fans, which are bad.
Yeah.
And I would like to chime in on that. It seems like, yeah, they're competitive from year to year, and they just have a ton of people that aren't even concerned with the school or the sports program at all. They just want a piece of their pie.
Right.
Saying, we're going to win every year, and you're not even really a fan.
Right.
Yeah, it's not so much the students, it's the outside fans that are just insane. The students seem to be more tolerable. They are another team that gets a ton of bandwagoners, and it just becomes insufferable.
I have friends, not even kidding, that are huge Duke fans, but they're Duke football fans. They're Duke basketball fans. They're Duke lacrosse fans. And every time I see them, it's a different Duke shirt. I'm pretty sure he was wearing a Duke women's volleyball shirt one time. Like, I don't even know if they have women's volleyball.
I mean, that's better than just the Duke basketball fans that are just, you know, oh, this team's good. I'm going to like them.
You want to know how you can tell who a real Duke fan is? When you ask them about their Duke fandom, they talk about how great Duke the school is and not how bad North Carolina Tar Heels are. So that's my big problem. All they want to do is talk about how bad North Carolina is when that is, first of all, factually incorrect. Second of all, that's an opinion, man. shout out to the dude. The dude abides.
Market 8, dude.
But it's just they're insufferable at times, especially when, you know, they get a big name recruit like, oh man, Seth Curry's coming. Seth Curry, yeah, what is Seth Curry? You know, what has he done? Did he get you a championship? I don't think he did. I think he won one when he was there, but I don't think he is the reason they got a championship. I think it was like Frank Kelly and So that's bogus.
All right, solid number four.
Dan Beebe, who's your number four?
Number four would have to be the Chicago Cubs, although not really relevant as much now that they've finally, you know, reversed the curse. For years, the fans have been constantly nagging and saying, you know, oh, this is going to be our year, this is going to be our year. Not even really so much looking at the overall talent of the team and where it was going.
Sound like the Mets.
Well, the Mets in themselves are another story, but, you know, if you figure the Cubs can do it, maybe eventually the Mets will do it again too. But back on point, you know, they would hardly ever look at their team statistics. Just an overall cursed sports franchise that has been trying for years, although they've finally done it, and I think we'd like to set that benchmark that no professional sports team should go more than 108 years without winning a major sports championship.
There are a few teams that I would be very happy if they didn't win ever, let alone like, in 108 years.
Like the New York Giants, because... You know.
Well, I mean, it was extenuating circumstances. I had to root for the Giants because I could not take a Patriots victory in a Super Bowl. So I had to root for the Giants in that.
But, absolutely.
But no, it's just there are teams, some in the NFL, some in the NBA. I never, ever, ever, ever want to see the Celtics win an NBA Finals. Never. Never, never, never.
Well, I kind of disagree with that. I'd love to see them.
Why?
I don't know. I just think they're an organization that has been working, and they would deserve to win another one.
As a Knicks fan, there are three teams that I just absolutely hate. And some of them don't even matter anymore. First are the Celtics. Second are the Lakers. And third are the Miami Heat. And that was even before LeBron James. This was back in the Penny Hardaway days. I hated the Heat.
The Alonzo Mourning days.
Alonzo Mourning.
I think I hate the Pacers more than the Heat. But
you hate Reggie Miller more than you hate the Heat.
I hate Reggie Miller so much.
I'm with you guys though on the Lakers. It's just, you know.
Plus now they got Lonzo Ball. Like, come on, that's. Lonzo Ball fans are the most annoying fans. LeVar.
LeVar, yes.
All right. Do you have more about the Cubs, or are we good to move on?
We're good to move on for now.
Dan O'Shea.
Well, we just talked about them, the L.A. Lakers.
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, my God. A fan base that has just had so much success. It is so sweet to hear their cries of pain for once. And I hope they're not good for a long time. I hope Lonzo, you know... gets a big contract and rides off into the sunset as a forgotten player because he's just, you know, never takes them to the next level. Only Laker I like is probably Magic Johnson, and that's just because him as a person, he's awesome.
Wait a second. Regardless of them being Lakers or not, there's no way that you can say anything bad about Gary Payton or Shaq.
No, that's true. But Magic Johnson's my favorite. And again, it's not about the team itself. It's about the fan bases. They're one of those insufferable fan bases that has just had success their whole life. It's basically like they were born with a silver spoon.
Yep.
And, you know, tasting a bit of the real world.
Plus, name one lake in Los Angeles.
Right. Not so much that, but it's like after every fourth season, if we haven't won another championship, there's a problem. And I think for years, like the Clippers...
Yeah, Although I will say, hated the guy as a player, but I think Luke Walton is bringing the right mindset to the Lakers.
Agreed.
That you've got to work for it. It's not just going to be handed to you anymore. You don't have Kobe. You don't have Shaq. You don't have Derek Fisher. You don't have Gary Payton. You don't have Karl Malone. You're not going to just get it handed to you.
That trade of D'Lo, I think, kind of said that too. You know, Magic was like, oh, we needed a leader. You know, it's not like Russell was a bad player. He looked like he had potential, but they got rid of him.
See, I think he has potential. I think his ceiling is a lot lower than a lot of other people do. Yeah. I think he has potential to be a good, you know, a good guy, a good basketball player, but I don't think he has the potential to be anything more than, you know, more than a fourth fiddle.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's the Lakers fan base. And kind of like our Knicks, they always have those celebrity
Jack fans Nicholson, in
the stands. Yeah.
Will
yeah.
Ferrell.
Yep, yep. So that's always, you know,
plus Phil irritating. Jackson. I think Phil Jackson's still a Lakers fan.
Probably. Doesn't his girlfriend or whatever? Like...
No, they broke up. Janine Buss. Yeah, conflict of interest. They broke up. Because at 71, you need to worry about, you know, breaking up with your girlfriend. But anyways, Tony also had the Los Angeles Lakers as his number four. So let's just go around again.
Titty? That's funny.
Mine was Duke basketball. Dan, yours were the Chicago Cubs, yep. Dan Beebe, that is. And Dan O'Shea and Tony both had the Los Angeles Lakers. So number three for me, the New York Metropolitans. The New York Mets are one of the most insufferable fan bases. Because no matter what, they find like the smallest little kernel of good and blow it up to be this giant bag of popcorn.
Like David Wright
and Jose Reyes are the only two things that I can say, you know, the fans have a reason to be excited or have ever had a reason to be excited. But for example, there used to be this baseball player named Mark Reynolds. I don't know if he still plays. The man was the worst hitter ever, but he hit like 40 home runs a season. But he struck out, like, every at-bat that wasn't a home run. So, like, the Mets fans, we've got Mark Reynolds, he hits home runs. Yeah, but, you know, if he's got to, you know, get to first base, he's not. He might as well just stand there. It's ridiculous. Not only that, every year the Mets fans are like, oh, well, you know, this is going to be our year because, you know, our pitching is solid, our hitting isn't that great, but our defense is good. Yeah, first of all, you got to stay healthy. Second of all, you got to stay healthy. Third of all, you got to stop making stupid trades. So the Mets organization is completely in shambles, and it's only worsened by the fact that the fans are so insistent that their team is a top level team. They're not. They are not. They have great pitching. Don't get me wrong. DeGrom, Harvey, what's the other guy's name? Noah Syndergaard. Probably the best pitcher in baseball when he's healthy. Noah Syndergaard.
Right, but just to add on to that, it's really going to be a long time probably for them since, you know, back in 2015 when they went to the World Series, it was solely a lot of it based on pitching. And until you fill those gaps, especially the guys like, you know, the Wrights were, you know, consistently getting hurt, you're going to struggle because, you know, your pitchers will get sick of, you know, pitchers duels games and not having that additional run support.
Exactly. You can't win 1-0 games 182 out of 182 games. It doesn't work. Eventually, your fastball is not going to be fast enough. Your slider isn't going to have the slide in it, and someone's going to figure you out and they're going to hit you. And they're going to hit you hard. They're going to hit you far. Now, Yoenis Cespedes has been good for the Mets when he's been healthy. That's like the big story of the Mets fandom. Their players can't stay healthy, yet they continue to talk about how great the players are as if they're going to play a full season. Just like Derrick Rose. But the last point I'm going to make is how stupid the Mets fans are. All right. The Mets fans are stupid because they're being fed that Tim Tebow is a baseball player and they are eating it up and asking for seconds. This guy is an absolute joke. He's been promoted from the lower single A to the higher single A.
They have two single A.
Yeah, they promoted
him. They want him to play on the Mets?
Well, I don't know if they want him to get all the way to the Mets, but they want him. He's been promoted from Charleston? Charleston Fireflies, whatever it is, to Port St. Lucie, which is going up. And the guy strikes out literally half the time that he's at bat, and he's only hitting like 212.
Well, it really shines too on management's decisions over the years overall with the team up top. That I think back in like 2009 when you tried to put like a huge Band-Aid over a bad situation, you were gonna say like Jeff Francoeur was your best hitter on the team. It's like,
I mean, we're not even gonna go back that far. We're talking about people buying Tim Tebow jerseys for a team that he doesn't even play for.
Love it. You just love gotta it. Wait to see.
Delusional fans.
Whether or not that materializes or not. I don't buy into it, but.
But they do, and that's why he hates them.
So that's my number three. Dan, Beebe, who's your number three?
My number three was a team that we've already kind of discussed, the New York Yankees. We won't really go back into much detail on that as to.
The New York Bankies?
Yeah. Well,
the bank rolls?
They've been referred to that. I'm not sure where you're picking that up from.
They buy everybody.
Well, there you go.
Not anymore. Not anymore. They're doing a great job at, acquiring young talent before they're...
And their fans are even worse because of it.
Now, if you said, Steinbrenner's like to buy winning teams, that would have made, in my book, a little bit more sense, but fair enough how you put it.
Now they're building up through the farm system, which has been great for the Yankees, because you're getting guys like... Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres,
Didi
Gregorius, Gary Sanchez, yeah. Gleyber Torres, Ronald Torres, a whole list of players that they're just getting for like nothing as they're coming through the farm system.
Matt Holliday, even from St. Louis, was a great acquired.
Yeah, Bird. I don't remember what his first name is. When he's healthy, he's decent. The pitcher, I don't remember his name. He's playing well. He just pitched on Monday, and he left in the seventh with a 6-1 lead.
Pineda?
No, it wasn't Pineda. It's a rookie.
Montgomery?
Jared Montgomery. Yep. Yeah. So they're getting quality play, and it looks like Aaron Judge might be the MVP of this season, and they didn't buy him.
No, he's just the guy's just a built asset for the team, and it's kind of scary even to see like if he does participate in the upcoming Home Run Derby, what this guy's capable of. I mean, it's very early on to project what he can do.
I mean, to quote whatever the guy's name is that does the broadcasting on the. On the radio for the Yankees.
Oh, John Sterling?
Yeah, John Sterling. It's Judgment Day. Yeah. Like, this guy is the real deal, the future of baseball. And the Yankees fans see that, and that's part of what makes them annoying. Because they're right.
Love it.
Dan O'Shea, what you got?
All right. So, just going to go along with the theme here. And my number three kind of eats up a lot of teams. It's all of New York sports. It's the Yankees and the Mets fans. It's the Jets Knicks and the Nets, Giants and the Jets. What about Rangers the Bills? And Islanders?
Does that include the Bills?
It includes the Bills.
They're New York.
What about the Liberty? The well, Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
I don't know enough about their fan bases. They're not large enough. But going to basketball, the Nets fans have been delirious for a long time.
Jeremy Lin's a credible point guard.
We will discuss that another time. Now they're the Brooklyn Nets and they're trying to take over New York, which of course irks me as a Knicks fan.
Really quickly, I know this is going to upset you in particular, but isn't it funny how the second class citizens of New York always end in Ets? The Jets, the Mets, the Nets.
The Islanders? No, yeah, that's something Yankees. we certainly noticed. Funny thing is, though, I'm only a fan of the Jets out of those Ets. I don't like baseball.
The Rockets.
I'm only a fan of the Bills out of those Ets.
Yeah, the Bills are basically an Ets. So Brooklyn's, you know, delusional and, you know, is trying to take over New York, in my opinion, as a Knicks fan. My fellow Knicks fans are delusional in thinking that we're far removed from Brooklyn, because we're not. We're not a good team. You know, there's hope there, unlike Brooklyn, for the next couple years. But after that, you know,
yeah. What's Kevin Garnett worth?
We're a storied, disfranchised franchise.
Worst case scenario, it's a short trip to White Castle.
Yeah. As far as football goes, I know my fellow Jets fans are infuriating. I know I'm infuriating at times. We treat, you know, our two games against the Patriots as if it's the Super Bowl every year.
Well, that's, you ask any team other than the Patriots, if, you know, if there is one team that you could beat twice this season or have a shot at the Super Bowl, most fans, knowing that only one team can win the Super Bowl, would take the two wins against their biggest rivals.
Right, right. But we treat it way more seriously than I think any other team outside of the division treats facing another division rival. I know, you know, your NFC East is all butting heads, but I don't know if any team treats their team against the Patriots as you go Cowboys and it's like a three-way tie of hatred between Redskins, Giants, and
If the Cowboys had to go 2-14 and they could only win two games, I hope those two games are both against the Eagles.
Okay, so maybe with the Eagles.
They're the team that I hate the most in the NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Fair enough. And we're bad. And the Giants fans are so annoying just from having won a couple of rings.
Our defense is so great this year. We're going to win the Super Bowl because our defense is great. No, you can't score.
Yeah. They think Eli is an elite quarterback, and that's a joke.
No, okay. Eli's an elite quarterback.
He's not an elite quarterback. He's a good quarterback, but he's elite. His numbers do not show elite. And
not from the defense.
He's got a big, stupid head, and all Giants fans need to acknowledge the size of his big, stupid head. let's see. Who am I not talking
Yankees
about
Yankees, Mets.
No. You guys talked about them. We'll skip them.
The Bills.
Rangers and Islanders. Oh, my God, are Islanders fans annoying. I'm a Rangers fan, so of course I find them the most irritating.
Here it comes. I've said this once, and I'll say it again. People from Long Island are infuriated.
As we went to SUNY Albany, we knew that quite well.
State University of New York, Long Island University at Albany, yeah. As I've called it many times.
Oh man, does a fan base ever not have anything to talk about? And they always think that they're better than the Rangers, but as has been proven, you know, season after season in recent years, they are wrong.
Incorrect. Yeah, they're. Very incorrect.
And Rangers fans are infuriating for that exact statement that I just made. Because it's not like we've won the cup since, you know, 94. So we don't really have a leg to stand on. And then I don't care about soccer, so...
Yeah, no one cares about soccer, really. Not the most popular sport in the world, but whatever.
So yeah, all of New York sports, we are infuriating, and we're a large fan base, but we're basically split in two in every sport, or maybe three. Bills fans I'll talk about later. They're in my honorable mentions.
All right, perfect. Tony has any fan from Philly or really Pennsylvania in general?
Oh damn it, that's my number two.
That's fine. Yes. So the. First of all, the Flyers, for accepting the Wells Fargo Center as a viable option to play their sports in, because it's not, okay? The Philadelphia 76ers, because this is going to be their fourth straight year of tanking, and their fans are happy, but they also pretend like they've still got Allen Iverson in his prime. So I understand that, and we'll get into more later on.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so let's just recap My number three, New York Mets. Dan Beebe, your number three was?
The New York Yankees.
New York Yankees. And yours were all of New York. So we just had a New York heavy three. And then, of course, Tony had to ruin it with Philly.
Yeah.
All right.
As Philly ruins all things.
Yes. Yeah, especially steaks.
Well, I like cheesesteaks, but not the big two restaurants whose names I won't name for slander purposes. But if you're going to go to Philly, just skip them. They're tourist traps. Go talk to local Philadelphians and find the real cheesesteak spots.
Well, I saw a thing about how they did a blind taste test between a Philly made by a New Yorker and a Philly made by a Philadelphian, and not knowing which one was which, 85% of the time, people from Philly preferred the New Yorkers. 80, and it was like 400 different people. And like 85% preferred the New York style of the Philly.
Maybe it's because we don't use the cheese whiz, and maybe they were like, oh, this is real cheese for once.
I think part of what it is because a lot of people like the idea of a Philly, but a true Philly doesn't have peppers or mushrooms. It just has the steak, the onions, and the cheese.
Yeah. I like the peppers. I'm not a mushroom.
So that's that's not a true Philly cheesesteak. Yeah. Just like if you have beans and chili, that's not technically really chili. It's chili as we know it, but it's not actual chili based on the traditional chili of the Southwest.
Yeah, I don't even think traditional chili has tomatoes.
Oh, I don't know about that. I just remember seeing on Big Bang Theory about not having beans. But
Big Bang Theory fans are next week's special of who I hate the most.
Oh.
All right. So, number two. And I think this is going to be a pretty unanimous one. It's the New England Patriots.
Oh,
New England Patriots wouldn't be so bad. Tom Brady wouldn't be as bad if the fans weren't such asses.
Oh, my God.
All right. And holes.
They're so beyond entitled. They lose a game and their fans cry and cry and cry and talk about how disappointed they are in their team and ignore the freaking, five rings that he's brought them. Really, just shut up, New England fans.
Really infuriating, I don't even know how to say it, is how much they love Tom Brady, that he can do no wrong. He overthrows Danny Amendola.
Was it Danny Amendola's fault somehow?
When they lost the Super Bowl. No, it was Julian Edelman. And everyone attacked Julian Edelman, forgetting that he's 5'6". Tom Brady's think he's throwing to 6'4" Randy Moss.
You know, they didn't really acknowledge that catch in this year's Super Bowl was all Edelman's play. He was underthrown. That amazing, spectacular catch.
Oh, yeah.
That was all Edelman coming back to an underthrown ball. And just their fan base, it's like, if you're a poor urchin child and you're just listening to this rich, spoiled brat talk about how he hates mommy and daddy for not giving him a new sports car this year, even though he's got 5 in the garage already. That's what it's like listening to New England fans complain.
I think the thing, though, that really irks me the most about the New England Patriots fans, and we did an entire episode about sportsmanship, is that they don't care that the Patriots cheated to win. They just do not care.
You could put an asterisk, I think, on 4 out of 5, 5 out of 5, maybe. There's always something.
No, 3 out of 5, because the other ones that they won against the Seahawks and against the Falcons, if you're going to put an asterisk next to those, it better be other team was stupid.
Won a 25-point lead enough. In the second half. Come on.
Don't run to the ball to Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Raiders won't make that mistake.
Oh, yeah. The Raiders are going to test and see what Lynch has in that tank. And they're a threat for the Super Bowl this year.
My prediction was Raiders-Cowboys.
Solid prediction.
Yeah. Dan Beebe, what have you got?
I have a team here that we've already kind of discussed earlier, the Duke Blue Devils. A lot of bandwagoning going on there at number two.
There is a lot of bandwagoning, but the true fans, and there are a lot of them, and we discussed this a little bit before the show, the Duke Blue Devils fans are very loyal fans. Not the type that, are going to switch teams when another team is good. I feel like a lot of them are bandwagon fans, but then they stay. They stay for life. I think that's why Duke has so many fans, is because, you know, you join the bandwagon, but then you stay.
I would hope so. At some point, you're going to stay with one team.
No, there are people that we went to high school with. Dan Beebe and I went to the same high school, and Dan O'Shea and I went to the same college and participated in the same government internship. So, Duke is one of those teams that the fans are very loyal and seem like they'll do almost anything for, just short of Charles Manson fans.
Solid. All right. That's if that's not a pronunciation on Duke's fans, I don't know what is.
Do you have any more to say about the Duke fans?
I don't think anything else can be said.
No.
They're just shy of the Charles Manson fans.
All right, so I was wrong before. My number two is actually, again, sticking with almost a theme here, is all Boston area sports.
Except Boston College. They're classy.
Yeah, they're fine. All Boston major sports, except soccer, because, again, who cares? The city as a whole is so spoiled by championships that it's enough to drive everyone else crazy when they hear them complain about their various teams. The Bruins have won a Stanley Cup recently.
Have the Patriots won recently?
Oh, I don't know. And it's not like I'm going to hear it from every freaking Patriots fan a million times over. The Celtics have won a few within the past decade and look like they're poised to maybe win another few with this team that they're building. And I hope
because they're going to be getting the number one pick again next year.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brooklyn.
This is again why I hate Brooklyn fans.
Where Brooklyn at? General. Not in the draft.
The Red Sox have even broken their curse. So it's like, a decade ago, I still had some respect for Boston area fans because they only had a sport here and there that was winning. But within the past decade and a half, they have won so much that it's just annoying. I don't want to hear Boston wins ever again. I hope after this, because I know they're probably going to win a couple more in the near future. I hope after this they go on a 100-year streak. And, you know, they can name the curse after me for cursing them with this, but that's...
The Dan Tony curse of all curses.
That's what I hope happens. And you heard it here, Boston fans. I hate you all. Not really. But...
The last championship, I guess you can call it a championship, that people from Boston won that I was okay with involved throwing tea into a harbor.
That's going back.
It's quite a while.
Yeah, I was cheering from the sidelines back then.
Yeah, the city of Boston is insufferable again because of their hatred of New York. And New York is insufferable because of their hatred of Boston. Which is funny because I hate the Boston Celtics. But I thought Brad Stevens should have been coach of the year. I'm confused.
It means, you know, you're open.
It means greatness recognized greatness. All right. And sticking with the Boston theme, Tony, number two, New England Patriots.
Solid, all around.
So let's just recap really quickly. Dan Beebe, I forgot myself. Dan Snyder, New England Patriots. Dan Beebe.
The Duke Blue Devils, number two.
Dan O'Shea.
All of Boston sports.
And Tony Casper, that would be the New England Patriots as well. So now let's get into our honorable mentions. I have... 1, 2, 3. I have 3 different honorable mentions. So the first one is going to be something that you touched on. It's all of soccer fans. Your sport sucks. Get over it. It's a terrible sport. All of soccer. It's fun to play. Horrible to watch. If you're a fan of soccer, you're a fan of stupidity. If you're a fan of stupidity, you're a fan of soccer. It's a direct correlated relationship. And I've only watched soccer like 3 times in my life. And
I watched like twice. I fell asleep both times. Like...
And once is because we got out of class in high school to go watch Germany beat Croatia. And the other two were Germany winning in the World Cup. Okay. And I'm German, so I'm okay with Germany winning almost anything except for World Wars.
I was going to say. Looked like a bit of history there. Let me just read my... I fall asleep to baseball and to golf as well, so...
Yeah.
I mean, I could lump those all together.
Let me just go through my other two, because it's not much. My next honorable mention are LeBron James fans. All right.
Shout out to Ulrich.
All right, they love the Cavaliers when the Cavaliers are winning championships, and oh my goodness, such a great team. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, LeBron James, or when he was with I almost said Boston. Bad mm-hmm. enough. Should be the Boston Heat, I guess. Oh, we've got Dwayne Wade, we've got Bosch, we've got LeBron. We got Udonis Haslem. Okay, but when they lose, it's, well, it's just LeBron. LeBron doesn't have help. LeBron doesn't have anyone around him. Yeah. Kevin Love is a scrub. Kyrie Irving doesn't know what he's doing.
He's never been part of the super team.
Yeah, he's never been part of a super team. And these, you know, I complain about him a lot because he doesn't take blame for things that are his fault. And he doesn't give credit where it's due. And neither do his fans. His fans do not give credit to the fact that Kyrie Irving played like an absolute monster for 3 of the 5 games in the NBA Finals. They don't give credit to the fact that Kevin Love, while he might not have been scoring, was down in the trenches where someone bigger like LeBron should be getting those hard-fought rebounds. They're not, you know, acknowledging the fact that Tristan Thompson is over there out-muscling Draymond Green a few times. So LeBron James fans, they are, for one single player, are, I think, even worse than Tom Brady fans. All right. And then my third one, and I just got to throw this in, Stony Brook fans, for supporting such a classless and hateful school. You suck, Stony Brook.
Love it.
Plus, you also, you also accept that a seawolf is a thing. It's not. Get over it. Get a real mascot and move on. All right, Dan Beebe, do you have any honorable mentions?
I have a list here. Actually, looks like my number 5 got dropped off the list here for some reason. So, my honorable mentions, I have the New York Jets.
Understandable.
Right, list them all off, and we'll
yeah, go just into list detail. Them all off. Yep.
Okay. The second one is the Montreal Canadiens.
Why? So I want to know why.
Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
Habs fans are insane. They are literally insane.
In 2008, after the first round of the NHL playoffs, they went on riots. They basically torched, like...
I was kind of surprised I didn't hear about riots when the Rangers beat them this year.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, I could see, okay, maybe not even after you win a championship, but the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah.
It's like...
I mean, that team was hyped up to the max and then lost in the first round, so it's, like, extra frustrating, but you don't go and just destroy your city over a sport.
I mean, a lot of...
I know a lot of people do it, and I disagree with it all the time.
When the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
It was absolute chaos.
If the Jets ever win a Super Bowl, I will probably go destroy a city. I'll just turn into Godzilla and just rampage.
is that
but I won't destroy New Boston? York. It'll be Boston.
Or Pittsburgh? Or Philadelphia?
Yes, all of the above.
Will you shoot fire?
Yeah, but out of my butthole.
Like a cigarette lighter?
I'll have some hot chili. And... I don't know if that needs to be edited out.
No, it's fine.
There's absolutely no cussing whatsoever.
It's just disgusting. Yeah. All right, Dan Beebe, continue on.
All right, so we listed the New York Jets. First one, Montreal Canadiens, were number 2 honorable mentions. Number 3 is the Chicago Bears.
Why the Bears?
The Bears, because every Sunday it's always the Bears.
Yeah, but
not
Dub
in like
Bears.
20 years.
Yeah, Dub Bears fans.
20 years.
Dub Bears fans realize Dub Bears suck. Yeah, why do you think? Why do you think they booed Mitch Trubisky?
They didn't know that a couple years ago when they had Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey. They thought they were Super Bowl bound.
In all fairness,
it looked good with Matt Forte.
And they had Marion Barber and Matt Forte.
Yeah. I don't think we're close enough to Chicago for them to get on my nerves like the other two.
Yeah.
The Bulls fans.
Bulls fans are
oh, we have Jordan.
And D-Rose fans are also very irritating.
Yeah.
Especially when they just bandwagoned over to the Knicks and then, you know, you had to argue with them. when D Rose was playing horrible.
We'll talk about that in another episode. That's something that, like, is it okay to be a fan of a player and follow that player? We'll talk about that in another episode. But go on, Dan.
But still, just to follow up on that last part, you know, you got these Chicago fans are always kind of like contradicting themselves, and they really don't even look into the stats of their team. It's like, well, okay, one week if we lose, it's going to be all pity us. We're just, you know, the worst team out there. Next week they come off a huge win, and it's always looking ahead to that next team on the play card saying, oh, watch out for us. So yeah. a lot of mixed emotions, it seems, with the Bears.
The it's monsters just, of the Midway.
Yeah, I mean, stick, you know, if you're not going to follow the team, maybe, I don't know, find a new one, or at least, you know, practice some loyalty. I mean, come on. It's not easy for a lot of fans out there, but they're sticking with it.
All right, who else you got?
All right, so we just covered that. That's 1-3. At number 4, I have the Atlanta Braves as an honorable mention. I mean, how many years now have we been forgoing the tomahawk chop?
Well, I think even more annoying is Ted Turner.
Well, he's finally sold the team. I'm not sure who to, but I believe some media company.
Probably that he owns.
Yeah, it could be.
I think Ted Turner is the most annoying. I'm getting in the wrestling business.
But I mean, it's a lot of, you know, a lot of talk. Granted, a lot of talented teams over the years, but you know, off the 1995 World Series win against the Indians, you know, we're claiming already. Okay, we're going to be, you know, a lot of unique nicknames like the Bravos, America's team throughout the 90s, and then you know, 96 you lose to the Yankees. So it's really debatable as to, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of their claims.
Really quickly, before you move on, is it just me, or is Ted Turner really reminiscent of Carter Peterschmidt from Family Guy?
Ah.
Lois's father. Yeah,
it can remember it.
Right? Right? It's exactly the same person. Anyways, actually, go on.
Probably just as racist.
I do have one really huge thing that kind of stuck out as to being a really kind of disreputable fan base, excuse me. In 2012, when they had the inaugural National League wildcard game against the St. Louis Cardinals, there was a debatable infield fly call where the fans were furious and all of a sudden just started chucking bottles and food wrappers all over the field to the point where they almost disqualified their own team from the game. So really, you know, as you mentioned earlier, sportsmanship and, you know, being a good sport, just very unexpected.
They're just not having it.
No. It's, you know, I understand dry spells, but come on. No, yeah. No room for that.
Do you have more?
I have 2 more.
Just read them off.
Okay. We got the Washington Redskins and the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Now, Washington Redskins, I believe back in about, say, was it 10 years ago, they used to have the fan base, what they call them, the Hoggets.
Yep.
And they wore, what, cardboard pig's noses.
Oh, I remember
yep.
that.
And, yep, and the Moomoos.
The Moomoos.
Yep.
And we also had a brass band, the only one in the NFL, but hey, we're not college football. What was up with that? And just the overall debate of the team's name, I guess. It's kind of...
Yeah, that's, we're leaving politics out of this.
Yeah.
Really quickly, though, I do just want to point out the most annoying team in all of sports are the New York Giants for the pure fact that in a sport that you're supposed to have cheerleaders, they don't. The Giants do not have cheerleaders, and that is annoying. Get some cheerleaders.
And the NFL should also pay their cheerleaders, but that's another conversation.
Yeah, they're worth all $75 a day.
Since we've had a lot of emphasis even on like New York and Boston, as just as my last one, the Red Sox, you know, having that 80-year some dry spell, and all of a sudden we're going to say we're the best. So that's kind of.
I mean, they have claim to that. I mean.
And I'll even go to the point where I'll even say to my, you know, I'll say, you know, that okay, you've won a championship, and that reigns true. It's probably for Boston a very, you know, over a lot of other sports teams, that would hold a lot more significance than, say, a team like the Yankees that has won a lot in the past.
Yeah. No, yeah, no, you're right with that. But, I mean, when you're winning somewhat consistently, it's understandable to say you're the best. I can't disagree with it.
Yeah. And in recent years.
Ask Rome.
Do you have honorable mentions?
I do. I had the Cowboys on here, but we talked about them. I also have the Raiders. Again, oh. An insane fan base that just, you know...
It's worsened when they're playing the 49ers, yeah. When both fan bases get together.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Talking about people being beat pretty much to death.
Right. Yeah, yeah, they have rioted and they've attacked players, you know...
The black hole.
In recent history, yep. Yeah. It's insanity, and they dress like stupid pirates, and, you know, you guys look like idiots. And that's coming from a fan of a team where a guy wears a jet on his, a plane on his head.
Fireman and, Ed.
Well, no, he wears a fireman's cap. That guy's all right. The other guy, after Fireman Ed, like, retired for a little bit.
And then came back.
Yeah. Again, that's irritating for jets, but...
Which is worse, the cheese on the head or the jet on the head?
The jet, but the stupid pirate look is worse than both.
Okay.
And I kind of encourage now, you know, since we've mentioned the Raiders here, if you haven't checked out it yet online, you can see Ice Cube's rendition of the anthem for the Oakland Raiders. I believe he's written it himself.
I am going to just venture a guess and say that their parental advisory on that.
No, he treats it like, you know,
look up a clean
those Disney movies out. He's been doing.
Yeah.
I've also got the Bills and the Dolphins fans. And,
are you just attacking the AFC East?
There's definitely no bias there. Sure. No bias there. Bills fans, like they're super annoying, but like it's kind of in a funny way, so they're okay. That's
like a Sarah Palin kind of way.
No, because she's like evil. But
they believe every year in and out, always next year.
Yeah,
I mean when
they're kind of. I don't hate them as much as the Patriots because they're kind of like brothers that you despise because you're brothers and being terrible. But they've got that inordinate amount of hope for no reason and no greatness to really speak of.
Jets fans were the most annoying back when they had Darrell Revis their first go round. Oh
Revis Island.
God. Darrell Revis is probably the most annoying corner I've ever come across. And Richard Sherman talks a lot.
To the point where he knew he wasn't getting anywhere, so he goes to the Pats to win his ring and then comes back to the Jets.
Yeah, yeah. I stopped being a fan of Revis as soon as he left the first time, and I didn't become a fan of him again when he joined back.
Do you remember, I think it was an Under Armour commercial where he was inside of a, maybe it was a Dick's commercial. I don't remember. He was inside of a...
I can't say that.
Well, yes, I can.
Sporting Goods.
Yeah, Dick's Sporting Goods. He's inside of a sporting goods store with gloves catching. There's this young kid who's doing that, and Darrell Revis comes over and talks to him. And he's like, you got to get yourself an island. And he's like, yeah, an island. Obviously an island meaning, you know, no one comes and gets away. Like, anything that comes to you stays with you. You are the one that's going to get the ball or stop the other person from getting the ball. And it's really funny because he says, yes, imagine your island. What is the name? What's your name? And he goes, Gilligan. He's like... We'll have to work on that. Because it can't be Gilligan's Island.
That's not bad.
It was funny. I also told it horribly. It was much funnier watching it.
There was also another great, I believe it was a Dick's Sporting Goods commercial, back probably about 5-6 years ago now, where it was Jimmy Rollins from the Phillies after they came off their World Series win, where he was talking about like building toughness and was basically just taking fastballs from a pitching machine in the stomach.
Yeah, I think the best promo with a Rollins is when Seth Rollins appeared on the...
WrestleMania with his Money in the Bank briefcase.
I was going to say The Daily Show.
No.
But do you have more honorable mentions? Or was that
the
it?
Last one was the Dolphins, and I actually don't have a ton of experience with Dolphins fans. Because of Flipper. It's because they're, you know, in a terrible place called Florida. Just as like...
Wait.
Hotter than hell.
I thought it was Flo-rida.
Oh, no. Common misconception, actually.
I thought the rapper was Florida, and the state was Flo-rida.
I do have to shout out my friend John, who is a Dolphins fan.
My sister's a Dolphins fan.
An annoying one.
Terrible.
I love you, John, but you're the worst.
All right. So without further ado, we're going to get into our number one. my number one are the Philadelphia Eagles. And that is for three reasons. One, you go around talking about how great your team is when they have absolutely no history. You went to a Super Bowl and you lost. All right. You talk about how the Cowboys are living in the past. It's because we've won a Super Bowl. Talk about how the Giants are just clinging to those Super Bowl wins. It's because they've won them. Talk about how the Redskins haven't been good since the early 90s. They won Super Bowls. All right? You haven't won anything. You won a Campbell's endorsement. That's it. And it wasn't even you. That was Donovan McNabb and his mama. All right? So, first of all, you have no basis to claim that you are a good team. Congratulations, you have championships from when there are four teams in the league. Congratulations. You've been around 80 years. Congratulations. You're not going to win a Super Bowl now. You're not going to win a Super Bowl in the future. You're not going to win a Super Bowl ever. All right, that's the first message I want to get to the fans.
I love the hatred. It just reminds me of what I was saying to the Patriots fans.
But the second reason, you threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Santa Claus got pelted with snowballs in Philadelphia. What kind of jerks do you have to be to ruin Christmas? The Philadelphia Grinches.
I was going to say, they're green like the Grinch, so...
Exactly. The third reason that I hate the Philadelphia Eagles fans is they could be the absolute worst team in the league, and their fans are going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl. A lot of people argue, well, you're not a real fan if you don't trust that your team can get to the playoffs or that your team can win the Super Bowl. Okay, Cleveland Browns have some of the most loyal fans in any sport. Do you think any of their fans are thinking, yeah, this is our year. We're going to win it. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, no. They're like, you know what? We'll take three wins. No. So Philadelphia Eagles, that, and because you just make, like, the absolute dumbest decisions with what Tim Tebow, first of all, not even giving Nick Foles a real chance, which if Nick Foles got into the right system, if Nick Foles were backing up Eli Manning, when Eli Manning retired, Nick Foles is an all-star, multi-time all-star, or Pro Bowler. He's probably a Super Bowl champ. He is Eli Manning 2.0. And you have such a hard time recognizing when you have good talent that you're willing to bring in a scrub like Sam Bradford and Mark Sanchez. And now Carson Wentz looks promising.
He does.
But people figured him out pretty quick. Like,
that's... Well, he needs to get his mechanics down. And I think the organization got mad at him for going outside to work on his mechanics. Like, how dare you improve without us? Like,
what? It's really frustrating because the Eagles fans are like, we got the rookie of the year. We've got the rookie of the year. It's going to be, I forgot his name already. What's his name?
Wentz?
Yeah, Carson Wentz. Yeah, it's going to be Carson Wentz. Except it's not. Because, first of all, your offensive line is garbage. Second of all, your defense did a lot more for your team than Carson Wentz did. And not to talk about the Cowboys, but in this rookie quarterback battle, Dak Prescott kicked your ass. So
Dak-a-doo.
Yeah, Dak attack took care of that. Carson Wentz took him a while to throw his first interception. Dak Prescott went two games longer.
If there's one good thing I can say about Eagles fans, it's that they're great at talking crap.
They're so good at
they're
it.
They're very good at it. It's entertaining as hell. And, you know, if you find the right ones, they talk more crap about their own team than your team. You know, if you find the right ones, they're very self-deprecating, and it's kind of hilarious. But the wrong ones are the reason that I agree with them being on your list.
My message to the Eagles fans. One, wake up. Two, go eat a cheesesteak. And three, get realistic.
Let me say four, sit down, be humble.
Seriously.
As Kendrick would say.
Or let's go like Kevin Garnett. Sit the F down and shut the hell up. All right. So as soon as the Eagles, A, win a championship or win a Super Bowl, B, realize that their team is not that good. And C, stop throwing snowballs at beloved children's characters. Maybe then they won't be the worst fans in all of sports. Dan Beebe, who you got at number one?
Oh, gotta be the Yankees.
You already said the Yankees, didn't you?
Yeah, but it's just, it'll overshadow, you know, it wins overall. It's just, I don't know. It's just
so much hatred that I'd be listed twice.
It's like, it's just never good enough, and, you know, it just makes everything, all the other 29 teams in baseball seem irrelevant. The amount that they complain.
Huh. Yeah, O'Shea, who you got at number one?
Well, we've been on a streak of agreement here, and my answer is similar to Tony's from before. It's all of Philly and really all of Pennsylvania sports, except maybe the Pirates, and that's just because I don't really pay attention to baseball,
are we
so
talking,
I don't know if their fans are that insufferable.
Are we talking only about professional or all major sports?
I was talking only professional.
Okay, I was going to say, because Penn State fans were not that annoying.
There's other criticisms of Penn State's fans due to recent history that we'll
ignore.
That
has nothing to do with us now.
That we'll ignore for now.
I will admit, this season we were annoying because Washington shouldn't have been in the playoff. It should have been us.
But yeah, just going down the line, the Steelers fans are similar to the Giants fans, and it's like...
But I mean,
they've got more rings to it, but, you know, relax. You know, Big Ben's past his prime. He's not winning you another Super Bowl.
I think he is.
I don't think so. Brown might change that, but and Le'Veon Bell, but it's not going to be Big Ben, you know, really doing it. It's going to be Le'Veon Bell just running all over the place if he can stay healthy. But they're another one of those teams. This year is our year, even when, you know, they don't have anything to show for it.
The other NFL team, the Eagles.
The Eagles we talked about, yeah. So I'll skip them. Phillies we talked about briefly. They're just super annoying. They're super bad, and they deserve to be bad, and I hope they stay bad forever. As a Rangers fan, you know, no bias there.
Wait, you mean the Flyers?
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The Phillies, I don't care about baseball, so if you guys have any hatred for their fans, go for it. 76ers, we talked about, you know, play some basketball.
The 4-year tank. You're a
pro tanker. I'm a pro tanker, but not for 4 years.
I am anti-tanking, and I think it's just absolutely ridiculous when, you know, there is still hope to make the playoffs for any sport. I think the point is to try and win as many games as possible. All right, and it just goes absolutely against my views on sportsmanship, my views on owing wins to your fans, owing wins to your organization, and especially owing wins to your players. There's no reason that a team should be sabotaging for seasons their players.
Yeah, I agree that is way too long. I don't mind tanking once you know a season is... shot and going for a higher draft pick once it's past, you know, the midway point of the season. You realize, you see the writing on the wall that your team's just not going to do it. I don't mind that. But
was the
suck
for luck worth it? Is it? Because he gave this dude a really big contract and now they suck.
Yeah, well, that's just, they did great in drafting luck, but the organization as a whole is pretty terrible and seems to think that wide receivers are the key to winning no matter what you have filling out the other positions.
Yeah.
Let's just draft a wide receiver every single year.
And then we'll take Donald Brown at running back.
Yeah. Let's see. Who haven't I talked about yet? Oh, yes. The Penguins, especially my brother, their fans are insufferable. They're another spoiled team with Crosby, or should I say Crisby. You know, we get it. You guys won. Yay for you. You're just enough already. No one wants to hear about you. And again, they are one of the biggest complainers. They cry just as much as Crosby does when he gets the little bit of contact and, you know, ignore any kind of dirty play that he does. And he does a very fair amount of them. Am I forgetting anyone?
Let's see. No, I don't think so. NHL, you got the Flyers and the Penguins. MLB, you've got the Phillies and the Pirates.
Yeah, don't care.
NBA, you've got the 76ers. NFL, you've got the Eagles.
And Pittsburgh doesn't deserve a basketball team, so
I would put
just
the
because
Pirates.
Their fans for the rest of that rest of their sports are just awful.
I would put the Pirates as an honorary number one. It's just
really
yeah.
No, because the whole mantra of the
Jolly
of the Pirates
Roger and,
no the whole mantra of the Pirates has been, well, we suck, but at least we got Andrew McCutcheon.
Yeah.
But they got better when they got, what was his name, AJ Barnett.
Way past his prime.
Oh no, he was great. He did way better for the Pirates than he did for the Yankees.
No, I'm not saying that he didn't do good. It's just like, you know.
But yeah. There, we came up with some really, really annoying fan bases.
And we probably alienated everybody, so.
Especially the Stony Brook.
Yeah, they can be overall number one worst.
Oh, man.
What's a Seawolf, Stony Brook? No one knows.
I would dismiss the Pirates, though, if they do win a World Series within the next 5 or 6 years.
You know who has some of the best fans? The Canadian Football League. Because even though no one else cares about Canadian football, they do. They
That's
care.
True. That's true.
All right. So, we got any more to say about terrible, terrible fan bases? Or are we all talked out about how crappy some of these are?
I think we've just dropped the chips, and now we got to let them lay down.
Now we got to pull in some hatred from everyone that hears this.
Yeah, so quote unquote everyone that hears this.
On the Twitter feed, hopefully we get some
good follow-up. Sort of tweef, a Twitter beef.
Yeah, totally. I want to, you know, hear from some other fans.
At least I won't butt fumble and delete my Twitter.
Yeah. So let's just recap. Oh, wait, did we give Tony's number one?
Oh, did we?
I'm not sure. Let me
we have
see.
The exclusive.
Oh no, we didn't.
Oh, we skipped
we
Tony.
Didn't. We
oh
skipped
no,
Tony.
I'm,
sorry,
unforgivable.
Tony. Tony's number one, Alabama football fans.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
yes. That is fair.
SEC fans in general, but I think even more annoying. I joined a Facebook group, and I post every time we have every time we upload an episode. I post in this group, so they're probably gonna hate me after this. But it's all Florida State and SEC fans, and they are the most annoying arguments. So I understand what he says about Alabama football.
Yeah, and they're getting a spoiled fan base. And maybe, I don't know, maybe I just like rooting for underdogs, but man, do I hate teams that are just, you know, feasting. Just
I hate them a lot less because they don't buy the championship.
Yeah.
Alabama hardly ever gets the best recruiting class. They just make the most of what they have.
That's
I mean,
fair.
they recruited Jalen Hurts as their starting quarterback. Kid can't throw. He's terrible.
Yeah, but they're known for recruiting defense.
Well, yeah. No, that is definitely true. They get good defense. But teams that always seem to get good recruiting classes, Georgia, they always get good classes. They don't always amount to much. But, you know, don't say that to one of the Georgia fans. Because, oh, you know, SEC. SEC is the best conference in football. Not. All right. So let's just recap. I said Philadelphia Eagles. Dan, BB, you said?
I said the New York Yankees with an honorable Pittsburgh Pirates.
Dan O'Shea?
All of Pennsylvania.
That is pretty much correct. And Tony said Alabama. All right, so we're almost done here. We do have our weekly staple, the This Week in Sports History. On June 27th, 1993, New York Mets pitcher Anthony Young loses his record-setting 24th straight game. I don't think I would lose 24 straight games.
Oh. I think I'd just quit by 23.
Yeah, probably. Unless they're paying me millions and millions of dollars.
I guess. That might convince me to stay.
What a mess. What a New York mess.
Yeah, the New York mess. All right. So we had a fun episode. That's going to do it for us here at Dan Tony Sports. Remember, check us out on Facebook. We are Dan D'Antoni Sports, two words. On Twitter, at Dan D'Antoni. You can listen on iTunes. You can listen on SoundCloud. Check out our blog. We do a weekly thing called Football Friday. The blog is dandantonysports.blogspot.com. And we are just in, you know, doing great things with that blog. It's just going to keep rolling as we get closer to football.
Can't wait for football.
Can't wait for football. It's going to get better and better. So for Dan, have a good night.